Good evening and welcome. My name is Frank McGuinness. I'm a deacon in the Diocese of Elphin, and I'm here in the beautiful church of St. Patrick in Strandhill, County Sligo. As we continue with our weekly Sunday evening prayer reflections in the Diocese of the Western Province, my sincere thanks to Canon Niall Ahern, parish priest of Strandhill, for making this church available to us this evening. This is truly a beautiful prayer space. I'd encourage you, if you're ever in Strandhill, to please call in. It really is a sanctuary of peace and tranquility. As we begin this evening, I want you to encourage you to take some time to become still, to become aware that God is really present to you through the power of the Holy Spirit, wherever you are tuning in from at this time. I would really encourage you not to just be a spectator, but allow God to really touch your heart as we begin this reflection. To allow us perhaps to become still and to enter in more fully, we will begin by listening to Psalm 23, which is sung for us this evening by Stuart Townend.
I will try.
And we continue our reflection by reminding each other of today's Gospel from St. John. Jesus said, "I tell you most solemnly, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold through the gate, but gets in some other way, is a thief and a brigand. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the flock, and the gatekeeper lets him in. The sheep hear his voice. One by one, he calls his own sheep and leads them out. When he has brought out his flock, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow because they know his voice. They never follow a stranger, but run away from him. They do not recognize the voice of strangers." Jesus told them this parable, but they failed to understand what he meant by telling it to them. So Jesus spoke to them again. "I tell you most solemnly, I am the gate of the sheepfold. All others who have come are thieves and brigands, but the sheep took no notice of them. I am the gate. Anyone who enters through me will be safe. He will go freely in and out and be sure to find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full." The Gospel of the Lord. I think there is a strong sense in our Gospel reading for today that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows you and knows me by our name. Our name is really important because somewhere wrapped up in it, perhaps in a very mysterious way, is our identity and our destiny. Jesus' call to you and to me is linked to who we are in him, sons and daughters of God, our identity, destined to share eternity with him in total happiness, joy and peace, our true home, heaven, our destiny. The stranger, the thief and the brigand, on the other hand, as mentioned in the Gospel, symbolize all the other competing voices that want to distract us from finding out who we really are and from discovering our true destiny. Some of you may remember, back in 2005, the BBC produced a reality TV series called The Monastery. Six men from secular backgrounds, non-believers, were invited for several weeks to live as monks in a Roman Catholic monastery. They attended daily worship, joined in the prayers, received spiritual direction, and spent time in silent meditation while getting fully immersed in the daily life of the Benedictine monks in Worth Abbey. In the final episode, it was time for the group to leave the monastery. One of the men, a young man who worked in a particularly shady and seedy industry, had his final session with one of the monks. During his time, he had come to the conclusion, to his great amazement and disbelief, that he didn't want to return to his previous lifestyle. He shared with the monk that his great fear was that when he returned home, he would lose all that he had learned. The camera captured the discussion as it evolved. After a few moments of silence, the monk began to reply to him. Slowly and gently, he told the young man that he has a name, but he also has a name that he does not know. The monk described that in the book of Revelation, in chapter 2, verse 17, We are told that our true names are written in heaven on white stones. He told him that this name on the stone was his real name, pointing to his real identity, who he really was in God. It was very clear that the young man was really uncomfortable, and he was clearly struggling to let go of his past life, his false identity, and say yes to this new reality that was being proposed to him, that he was discovering through his experience in the monastery. The monk told the young man that he would like to give him a present to take home as he was leaving. He reached into his pocket and he pulled out a small, smooth, white stone and handed it to the young man, telling him that this stone represented his true name, his true identity. He said it was a symbol of his quest to find out who he really is in God. It was very clear to the audience that at that moment, the young man was experiencing a deeply spiritual moment of encounter with the living presence of God. The monk wisely asked him not to try and speak away the experience, but to rather sit with it in silence. After a pause of a few moments of silence, the monk then prayed a beautiful prayer of blessing over the young man before he left. Back in his room, the young man explained to the camera that that day he had woke up not believing in God, but that now he does, and that God, in a moment of grace, had touched him profoundly. That young man returned home. He left his previous lifestyle and his job and began to meet regularly with the spiritual director. Of course, the truth is that all of us, you and me, are like that young man, in search of our true name and our true identity on that white stone. Each one of us, at a profoundly deep level, even perhaps unknown to us, is being drawn, cajoled, beckoned, and called by God to be our true selves in Him. We are being called to discover ourselves as God sees us in Jesus, redeemed and rescued by Him, made perfect through Him, with an eternal destiny in Him. However, as you and I know, this desire in us is often derailed and sabotaged by what we traditionally call the world, the flesh, and the devil. These offer an imitation of our true identity and attempt to rob us of our true destiny in Jesus. So we must, you and I, with perhaps a deep sense of urgency, create a space and allow God to find us, God who craves us, God who searches after us, God who calls us forth. In many respects, on reflection, similar to the experience of the men who chose to be part of the monastic experiment, the restrictions, the current restrictions that have been put in place to impede and stop the spread of COVID-19 have perhaps stripped us of many of the things that we previously took for granted. Perhaps for some, it has been an opportunity to take stock of who we are, what's really important to us in life. Equally, for many, it may well be the case that we have just filled our lives with a new list of distractions, while avoiding any form of deeper reflection. Many of us, I suspect, will fall into both camps, doing a little bit of each. Perhaps it's worth considering if, during the current crisis, God wants you, wants me, to use this time to discover who we really are in Him. To spend time in silence with Him, reflecting on life and what your call is, what my call is, where you are going, where I am going, ultimately. Of course, The bigger question, the bigger challenge remains for us, for you and me, just like the man on the TV show. Are you, am I, going to return to our old way of life, unchanged? As a final part of the reflection, I want to share a short story with you. There was a very wealthy man who lived in an ancient castle in England, and he decided to hold a great banquet. He invited all classes of people from far and wide. There were movie stars, politicians, royalty, wealthy business owners, artists, musicians, and a few others who were his personal friends and acquaintances, over 600 guests in all. The setting was spectacular. The castle was radiant, adorned with a springtime of flowers, and perfectly lit with a myriad of candles. The guests enjoyed a sumptuous meal, along with a wonderful selection of the world's finest wines. For entertainment, the host had invited a famous Shakespearean actor to perform for his guests. And after the meal, the host invited him to the center of the room to begin his performance. The guests were amazed as he spoke eloquently and powerfully, reciting famous passages from the writings of William Shakespeare. Each new rendition was greeted with rapturous applause, which echoed up through the castle and spilled out into the moonlit courtyards. An elderly man who was wandering nearby, hearing the joyous sound, decided to enter the castle and soon found himself at the back of the banqueting hall just as the actor was starting his final piece. When the actor had finished, the guests got to their feet and clapped and cheered and called for an encore. The actor rose once more and said, "If anyone has a favourite passage from any source, if I know it, I will recite it on one condition, that once I have finished, the person who suggested it will also recite it." Silence fell on the crowd. Many of the guests wanted to offer suggestions, but didn't do so, out of fear that they too would have to recite the piece once the actor had finished. Then, from the back, the elderly man who had wandered in raised his hand. "Sir," he said to the actor, "I realise it's not Shakespeare, but I was wondering if you would recite for us the 23rd Psalm, 'The Lord is my shepherd.'" The actor paused a moment. He looked down, then he smiled and spoke up, saying, "I would be happy to, once you are willing to recite the psalm after I'm finished." The old man nodded in agreement. And so the actor began. "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want." And so he continued in his powerful and eloquent voice. When he had finished, the crowd rose to their feet in ovation, clapping and cheering like they would never stop. Eventually, the actor, calling for hush, looked at the old man and said, "Now it's your turn." As the old man steadied himself, a whirl of whispers raced around the room. And then a look of vivid recollection came across his face, and he seemed to slip into a different place. And then, in a voice that was gentle and deeply reflective, he began, "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want." And so he continued with the psalm. When the old man finished, not a sound could be heard in the hall. Nobody clapped. Nobody moved. Nobody spoke. Some wiped tears from their eyes. Others sat staring with open mouths. Everyone, including the host, was awestruck with amazement. The actor was perplexed. He wondered why this old man's words had touched the people so deeply. Then In a moment of enlightenment, it dawned on him, and he got to his feet and said, "My friends, do you realize what you have witnessed here tonight?" The crowd gazed back, knowing they had witnessed something profound, but were uncertain about its meaning. "Why was this man's recital of the psalm so much more powerful than my own?" he said. "As I see it," the actor continued, "I know how to recite the psalm, but this old man, he knows the shepherd. This old man, he knows the shepherd." So then, let us, you and I, use this time wisely. Let us put some silence into our day and get to know Jesus, the Good Shepherd. In doing so, we will discover our true name and our true destiny. Also, perhaps you would like to find a small white stone and keep it with you to remind you of your quest for your true identity and destiny as you follow Jesus in your life. We finish our reflection turning to Our Lady during this month of May. We ask her to intercede for each one of us, for all our needs at the present time, and also that you and I will discover our true name and continue to journey steadily towards our true destination with Jesus in heaven for all eternity. And we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ in the heart of each who thinks of me. St. Patrick, pray for us. Amen.